But first of all, I'm so happy that this church is really doing these kind of trips. They are encouraging all some believers to go abroad and share the gospel. That is something crucial. That is something important. We are seeing that the world is destroying themselves. Too much troubles, too much problems, and people need Christ. Amen. So this is the reason why the church raised funds for doing mission trips, and we have some examples here about what the Lord is doing and He's going to do in many, many nations. So keep working on this, keep doing your best, but you can be the next one who can go to this kind of trips, okay? So we are going to start, but first of all, Perry and Martha, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this interview. Okay, so, and I would like please introduce yourself for a little bit, okay? A little while.
Ladies first.
Ladies first, okay.
Okay, thank you. Jemisi, sorry, I just said praise the Lord, okay, in Nepali, okay. So, Martha, I'm a student in Shiada, offering accounting, master's in accounting, and I'm just an ordinary person. Thank you,
Martha. Perry?
My name is Perry. I think many people know me. And I think my wife is there. Victoria, hey. Victoria.
I also have a best friend here. Akosia, where are you?
I'm a student at the University of Xiamen. I'm a PhD student. I study international law. I want to be a professor.
Okay.
But foremostly, I love to preach the word. Amen.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So now, please, Perry, can you talk a little bit, please, about this project, this mission project, more about, so we can know?
I arrived in China in 2015. Okay. And later that year, I remember Brother Nelson, who is the prayer coordinator for XICF, he called me and said, Perry, do you want to go for a prayer conference? Mm-hmm. So I went to Wuxi. Wuxi is in somewhere in the north, I think. And they had a prayer conference there. And the conference was organized by ICFC, which is International Christian Fellowships of China. So it's an organization that is looking for it to bridge in the gap between all the various fellowships in China. And they organized programs. And at that time, they were organizing the prayer fest. So we went, and later they told us that, okay, next year, we are going to go to Sri Lanka and India for missions. And I'm like, yeah, I want to go. So I joined them, and God being so good, we returned. And just this year, they organized a wonderful mission trip to three countries. That is Sri Lanka, Nepal, and the Philippines. And XICF was given a wonderful opportunity to send three representatives, and it was four. Darrell, Isaac, Martha, and myself, four. And it was amazing. So the mission was organized by ICFC for all fellowships within China.
Yeah. Thank you. A church that they don't share the gospel abroad, we cannot call ourselves followers of Jesus. So this is crucial, and we are grateful to the Lord that you are, this ICCF, are doing that. So the first question, it would be this. So first of all, which country did you go, guys? Martha?
I went to Nepal.
Nepal. Yeah. And you, Perry?
I went to Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, wow. Okay, first question is, what were your expectations from this mission trip? Before you left here, what were you expecting? What were you thinking? I'm going to do this, I'm going to try that, I'm going to see God doing this or that. What were your expectations?
Wow, okay. First of all, before going out, I wasn't really having any expectation because I was spending some weeks in the hospital. And it so happened that I just heard I need to be there. So as I was going, my expectations was, it's a story from like, an elephant trying to climb or go across a bridge, and the bridge has so many like things. So to go through the bridge, he was able to go through the bridge, but there was something else. There was an ant by the ear of the elephant. So when he finished climbing the bridge, the ant was like, I have also made it across the bridge. And the lesson from this was, sometimes in my situation, sometimes you may be weak. In doing certain things, you might be weak. For maybe in my case, I was weak. The human terms, I was weak for the missions. But when you carry a right partner along, you'll be able to make it. And that partner that I had, the only person I depend on, the only person I trust is Jesus. So I knew I had God with me, that even in my weaknesses, for he said that in my weaknesses, his power is made perfect. His strength is made perfect. So I knew with him, I'll be able to achieve something. So I just presented myself as a vessel. And then in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was made to go to the potter, he went through two things. He saw the clay going through two instances. Like the first one, the clay was molded by the potter to be shaped in a way to function for a specific activity. And after it was being molded, it also became beneficial to others. So that is how I wanted my life to be. First of all, to be impacted by God, and then also to be a vessel of instruments for God. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Martha. What about you, Perry?
To be frank, after my first mission trip, that time I was the prayer secretary for the mission trip. And when I returned, they made me the president for the mission trip. So, to be frank, my whole idea was take people out of China, go preach the gospel, and bring them back safely. Yeah. You don't want anybody to go get missing or anybody get beaten up or anything. Because in Nepal, last year when we went, there was a case where people were arrested after they preached. So, and I just got married. I don't want to go to jail. So I was praying, Father, please, let the mission trip go well. And God went beyond my expectation. It was amazing. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, sometimes we go with some expectations and the Lord changes everything. And I have heard a story that people just going to see what could happen, and then suddenly they become presidents of some organizations, and they become maybe some missionaries for a long term, so which is great. Praise the Lord for that. So what role did you play on the mission field, and how was your reaction to those roles? We would like to know more about the work you did there over there, and how do you feel about that?
The first thing that shocked me was when the pastors from Sri Lanka sent me a notice that they were going to put together a pastor's conference, and I was the main speaker. And I said, really? I didn't even complete my pastor's course. My wife actually completed. I didn't finish. I'm a pastoral school dropout. I didn't finish. And eventually when I went, The night before, I couldn't sleep because I was thinking, what if I say something and they don't invite us again? What if I say something and they start stoning me or something? But the role of being able to speak to pastors, not because of maybe an avalanche of information I have, but just because of my heart for souls. For me, I was happy. Eventually, some of the pastors came and they said, bless me, pray for me, I want your heart. And I said, trust me, you don't want my heart. You should ask for Jesus' heart. But for me, one of the roles that was challenging for me was when they were told me that I was going to speak to pastors. I know I love the Lord, but I'm felt a bit inadequate. And that was one thing the Lord said to me, that sometimes you can be a crayon, you can be broken, but still, broken crayons, they still color. You can ask the kids, the majority of their crayons are broken, but they still use them. No matter what form you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you know, the foremost thing God is looking for is your availability. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're witnessing to, about what the Lord has done in your life. You are witnessing here and you're witnessing there. Yeah, the Lord can use it in any way. Yeah. Martha.
For me, just like my big brother, it was... I think we went through 20 hours of traveling in a bus, and we got there at dawn, and then we were like, they were like, we'll be preaching, we'll be having a women's conference, and we were three ladies, and they said, we are going to minister because the men cannot come in and all that. And when we went there, we realized they were in for healing. So I was like, God, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. And I just heard, before we started the program, we prayed, the three of us, we prayed. And one lady told me, she saw me with fire and I was running. So as I was standing there with this multitudes of women, old women, I can say, people who were far older than me, looking up to me to heal them and to give them some words of encouragement, it was a bit of a challenge. But as I was standing there, I remembered what she said. And then I heard God saying, what do you have? And at that time, the only thing I could say or do was speak in my usual way of praying, as in speaking in tongues. So I just started and I prayed. And what the Lord did was mind-blowing. It was more than, I've heard it, I've watched it on telly, but He using me to do something, it was something I never ever thought I could do. I just stand in front of someone, the person falls down. When they wake up, they are healed and all that. I was like, God. And I remember I was having this key in my hand. So anytime I use the key, like I wrote the key, something happens. And it also worked, like when we were trying to cast out a demon. And then when I came back and I was trying to reflect on it, and God was like, God took me to the time of Moses when he had the word, when they were trying to cross the sea and he had the word, and then God said you should use it. So he was like, it doesn't matter what you have in your hands, I can use it. So I don't know whatever anyone has here, but God can use it. If only you make it available to him, he can use it. Amen.
Amen. What's the language? The language was a barrier maybe for you guys?
The language?
The language, yeah.
In Sri Lanka? The barrier. The language barrier. Yes, it's... There was once I was preaching at a crusade. That was like 600 people at a crusade. And I'm preaching and the man who was translating for me was not saved.
Oh.
So as I was preaching, I sometimes tell me, ask him if he is saved. Because we just went to somewhere far in the north, very desolate, and people gathered under trees. So I would stand, they would cut a tree trunk, and I would stand on it so that I could see. And I was preaching, the man was speaking, and I realized he was not saved. So I prayed for him. He became saved, and he said, majority of the things we were saying, he sometimes would change it. And I was like, You are a wicked guy. I was saying in my head. I didn't say to him. I said, you are a wicked guy. Why would you? But then I realized that the little things we take for granted here, being able to speak clearly in some places is a major hindrance. And the devil uses what we don't know against us. So we realized that we didn't give so much attention to the language barrier. So what we've decided to do as a mission team is before we go for our next mission trip, two people are going to go a week earlier and they are going to have training for translators, local pastors, and local officials so that they wouldn't just pop out of the blue with whatever they are coming with. But then, so thank you so much. That's a good question. Thank you.
That's good. Great. So, next question is, can you highlight three things that you witnessed on the mission field that you were completely amazed by? Okay. Who wants to go first?
Okay. The first one was the healing, how God did it. And I remember there was this man, I went to a church and I was praying for the man, and he eventually said, like, they asked him in Nepali, and he was like, when he came, he had a problem with his eye, and he was like, whilst we were praying, he eventually saw stones coming, like small gravels, coming out of his eyes, and he can now see. And I was like, God, it's like, sometimes you hear these things, and you see them on televisions and all that, but you experiencing it is so amazing. Mm. It's so amazing when God uses you to do such things. And the other one was the deliverance. Like, we delivered someone who was abused and it was trying to affect her mind and all that. And the manner in which God did it, because we did it for several times. We went through all the, because we had gone through the preparations at the pre-camp. We went through all the procedures and all that. But still, the girl was not okay. So we just went back and we were praying, and I heard something. Normally, to the normal, ordinary matter, I would just ignore it. Mm-hmm. But I was attentive to the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And it also counts. Whenever you are in the field, it's very good. Not even in the field, wherever you are, you should be sensitive to the voice of God and obey. Because as I went up to the team and I told them this is what is happening, and we inquired from the girl's sister, we found a solution to the problem. So I was so amazed as to how God, I could actually hear the voice of God so swiftly, and acting on it, it resulting in a good result. It was so amazing. So amazing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
For me, I think the first thing was with our team. I have never been for a mission trip with such a fun bunch of people. And the first testimony is that it's good to be around people who are of one mind. And it was amazing. I love to pray. My wife loves to pray. I love to pray. I enjoy prayer. I don't see prayer as pain. I love prayer. And when I was in the company of people, I was thinking, you know, you are the team leader. You don't need to be too bossy. You don't need to do things. So I prayed one prayer, which a lot of people take for granted. Father, grant me the grace to respect every single person in the team and be able to serve them properly. And I've never gone for a mission trip that I've enjoyed being around people like that before. They would come to me, Perry, I feel we should pray. And I'm like, really? Really? We should, and I feel like we should fast for 2 days. I'm like, really? And the thing is, normally if you are the one suggesting it, they can be like, this guy, he likes. But when it's coming from people, it's amazing. The people you go with, and I was just laid back and enjoying the fellowship. There was so much brotherly love. One pastor said, I envy what you people share because you are like brothers and sisters. But I realize you are not even in the same university. And I'm like, yeah, this guy is in Beijing. This guy is in Jiangsha. And for me, that was the first testimony, that God could cause people who don't know any of them from zero to show so much love. And the second testimony was the aspect of spiritual battles. This is my seventh mission trip. And I've literally, there was once in Ghana, in the Volta region of Ghana. The Ghanaians here, they know the Volta region. It's a very strong place. When I say strong place, I mean spiritually strong, tense place. One night I woke up to pray. That time I was also the mission leader. I woke up to pray, and when I got out in the tree, I saw red light popping out of the tree. Quickly, I went back to sleep. I quickly went back to sleep because I knew it was a witch. Because they had told us that that neighborhood was known for witchcraft. So I quickly went back to sleep. And as I was sleeping, I realized I had to do something. So I quickly woke up the prayer secretary, get up and pray. I didn't tell her what I had seen. So she just got up, prayed. The next morning we woke up and all the food staffs that we had taken for the mission trip, they were maggot infested. So I learned a lesson from there, but this time in Sri Lanka, I had never seen spiritual attacks so glaring. I was telling some of my friends, Prince, I slept in the evening on the bed. When I woke up in the morning, I was sleeping on the floor with my shirt off. And one night I was sleeping and I saw an arrow moving, and the Lord said it's going to 814. And 814 is my room number where my wife is. So I started getting afraid. And the pastor called me and said, you know, I feel the Lord wants you to know this, but spiritually you are a giant and nobody can molest you. I've seen the way you pray and I've seen glory flow out of you. So I sat down and I'm like, what? So why am I even allowing the devil to torment me? Because he who lives in me is greater than any. So the next day we go to a place and I have a strange feeling as I'm preaching that there is a lady. I think one of us was there was a prophet. There was a lady who was having suicidal thoughts. So he describes the lady, exactly what the lady is wearing, and the lady comes out crying. So normally when we call out a person, we anoint the person. And this young pastor who was with us did not go through the protocol properly. And as he laid hands on the lady jumps up and starts choking the pastor by the neck. And then I hear the pastor shouting, Jesus! Jesus! And quickly I go in and I just lay my hand on the lady, and the lady literally falls into a trance. She wakes up and she confesses everything that she's done and the spirits that have been at work. And the main focus of this testimony is that no demon from any pit of hell is stronger from a believer who accepts Jesus Christ today. Yeah, if you accept Jesus Christ today, you are greater than the highest hierarchy in the kingdom of hell.
Amen.
And for me, that was the greatest testimony. And the last testimony was the food. The food was good. But I'm serious. It's very difficult when you go to the mission field and you don't have good food. I prayed about it. The Father, let me have some good food. And trust me, I had fried rice. I had grilled chicken. There was French fries. Good. Oh. God is good.
God is good all the time. Okay. So
I also think we also had good food. But Adao, where are you? Yeah, we had good food.
Good food.
Good food.
The Nepal team.
Oh, okay.
And we had nice tea too. So it was good.
Yeah, great. Praise the Lord. So any mission trip changes the lives of a person. That's for sure. Any Christian who goes to a mission trip, that will change your life. So how would you like guys to XCICF prays for you? What changes can you see that are coming in your life, and how would you involve us in prayer so we can continue praying that the Lord makes His will in your lives?
Should I go first? Are you sure? For me, I think on the mission field, I realized three things. It's important for me to be in prayer for my wife. Mm. If you take my wife away from me, you've literally taken my very life. Because my wife and I are one. Mm. So I'm if the best thing you can do for every missionary is to pray for their marriage.
Mm.
I pray for Jim and sometimes, and I understand what it means to be a couple involved in mission work. So for me, the best prayer I can do for me is for I and my lovely looking wife to pray for us. And secondly, that for me, that the purpose of God for which I'm in XICF, I'm in China, would be fulfilled. Amen.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so I'm single. Okay. Anyway. It is well. Okay. I think that no. I think the only thing that when you take from me will make my life meaningless is Christ. And I don't see Christ ever leaving me, because he said he will never leave nor forsake me. So that's not possible. So now it's up to me to walk closely with him. Mm. And one thing I've so desired, like coming back, because I met real men of God. You can say you pray, you know the word, but when you get there, you meet people with different levels of anointing. So I just pray to God that whatever purpose he has for me, he should let me walk in that. Like, that I will live my life to give glory and honor to him and only him.
Amen.
That everything that I do will reflect his glory. That is all. Amen.
Amen. So, brothers and sisters from XICF, you want to see big things from the Lord? So you need to go a mission trip. Yeah, you can see that is going to change your lives, and that is going to change the way we think, the change we perceive the world, and we also can be witnesses to the Lord, and that is an amazing opportunity the Lord has given us. So, are we going to be praying for them? Yes. Are you going to be part of the next mission trip?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. So you're going to have a lot of job to do. Okay. So we have run out of time, so we have to finish this time. But continue XCICF, continue doing missions. That is for the glory of God. Okay. So we are going to add something.
I just want to say one thing that we thank. Pastor Gabe and the leadership of this church, and every member, especially the friends that pray for us, send us encouragement during the trip and all that. We just want to say thank you so much, and God bless you abundantly.
And to the chairperson, Mr. Ben Briggs, and to the steering committee, I believe so strongly that the initiative to start up a mission fund is something that was the Lord initiated.
Amen.
So please continue. There is nothing more frustrating than getting to the mission field and not being able to do what you have to do just because you don't have money, and souls are perishing and more. So I think those that gave, God richly bless you. I have a list of the names and the envelopes which you gave. My wife and I are going to pray for you, because I believe you giving is not necessarily meaning that God is lacking. God never lacks. But you giving is an opportunity for you to be part of the release of grace and glory into your life. So we are going to pray and bless you. I believe Brother Ben wanted
to... we'll invite him to come and pray for you guys, and also to make the last prayer. And there is a, behind all this work, there is a big work from many people behind them. And in order to make this possible, there are a lot of contributions. And thank you for that, Brother Ben.
Well, let's pray for these guys. Rob's coming up too. We're gonna have a time of prayer for Pastor Gabe and for anybody who wants healing. I know Gabe always loves not focusing just on himself, but to allow anybody here. If you need healing in your life, come up too. Brother Jay is in town today, and he said he was so sad, so touched to see Pastor Gabe's health this way. And I said, but Jay, we're praying for full recovery.
Amen.
And he said, if there's any group in the world that can have the faith for full recovery, it's this group. Amen. So I'm thankful to be part of this group. Perry, you said that you, on your mission trip, you had such unity, such brotherhood, and I feel that in our fellowship here, and that we have a special unity and a special brother and sisterhood. Marta, you said that you didn't feel capable. You didn't have it. You said they came to you for healing, and you said, I'm sorry, God, I'm not there yet. And I think we feel that way sometimes, don't we? We said, we just saw Gabe without his shirt on today. We saw some of the havoc that this disease is wrecking on his body. And we don't like it. But you know what? Cancer is like an ant to God. He can step on it.
Hallelujah.
It's nothing. So let's pray. God, we worship you. We thank you. We rejoice. Lord, in all things we give thanks. Gabe and his family have your peace, your joy, your goodness, your truth, your healing, your victory. You died on the cross for them, Lord. We command that devil who is bringing the cancer, that Gabe, on the day that he believed in you, that he was victorious, that he was more powerful, that he had the power of the cross, that he had righteousness, purity, goodness, to overcome even the highest demon. We praise you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we all lift our right hand? And when we read the Bible, it says when the Israelites were in warfare, when Moses' hand was lifted up, it was a sign of victory. Father, I thank you for victory. For victory was won 2,000 years ago. Now, Father, by every hand lifted up, I release an atmosphere of faith around him. Every bad mouth is shut. And I declare a release of joy in this atmosphere. Father, I thank you that you can make every mess a message. And you can make every test a testimony. I thank you, Father. I see things turning around. And I declare that we shall live to see the goodness of the Lord. Death shall be far from this congregation. The glory of the Lord shall be mighty upon us. And this testimony will not only strengthen XICF, but will strengthen and will begin a revival in China. Thank you, Jesus. We believe and we declare. Let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 If you are led to pray in any way, you can just stand and begin to speak. For the Spirit of the Lord listens to everyone. And even as you rise, I believe the Lord is going to cause you to declare a word and it shall be established. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, the hearts are guided unto you. Hearts are guided unto you. Hear the cry of your people. In Matthew 18 verse 19 it says, if two of you shall agree on touching anything on earth. Ha! Father, we are more than two in this place. We are more than two in this place. You can hold your brother's hand right now. Hold your brother's hand right now and agree. We stand in agreement right now, Father. In Psalm 133 you said, how lovely it is for brothers to dwell in unity. For there is a release of oil when we stand in unity. Father, by the holding of hands right now, we declare release of anointing. A release of anointing for healing. A release of anointing for breakthrough. A release of anointing of joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For Father, your blood speaketh many things than the blood of Abel. By your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Jesus. Even as we bring our prayers to an end, you want to say thank you. You want to say thank you. What people don't know is the greatest act of faith is to thank God before you even see it. What do you want to see? Begin to thank God for it. Because I see Pastor Gabe standing here preaching on Exodus. I see Pastor Gabe standing here and giving us a wonderful sermon on Exodus. What do you see? What do you see? What you see is what you get. Because we see through the eyes of faith. I see the church standing up in praise. I see the church standing up in worship for the goodness of the Lord. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. And even as we summarize, we would call Mr. Rob to summarize our prayers.
Father, I think of the passage where, I think it's Paul who says, not that we are adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy is from you. Lord, you have given us the Spirit and the power of the eternal King of the universe. And that's in us. That's a gift from you. But we thank you for the unity that we have in the Spirit of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you, you're faithful to allow situations to come that we must rely on you. And in doing so, we come alive in a way that we never would have before. So, Lord, we just praise you in advance. I think what Perry said, we thank you. We thank you for meeting our needs. We thank you, God, for the picture of what you're doing in Gabe's life, that you can do more than we ask or imagine in Gabe's life and in our lives. But, God, as brothers and sisters of Gabe, we love our pastor. We are thankful for him. And, God, we trust you. We trust you know what is best for him. We trust you have the power to completely heal him. And we ask for that, God. We ask this week as he's going to Hong Kong tomorrow for treatment. Lord, that he would find the perfect place to stay, that the treatment that the doctors would give would be perfect to eliminate his cancer. And God, I agree with Perry. I look forward to hearing Pastor Gabe preach in Exodus. And God, we know that in our strength and in human reason and logic, this is impossible. But in you, it is possible. So God, we just commit him to you. We trust you as a good, good Father. And we love you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to exercise our faith muscles. And even through the week, we commit our week to you. Lord, this is the body of Christ. And we're yours. Jesus, we pray all this in your glorious name. And come soon. We look forward to being with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we rise for the closing prayer? Turn to the person on your left and your right. Tell the person, you are going to have a wonderful week. Father, we thank you and bless your name for today's service. Let your name be glorified in our lives. We look forward to hearing good news. We thank you, Father. Let your name be praised. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen. Service has closed. Have a wonderful day.